If you turn again in your Bibles, please, to Exodus in chapter 13, this account of the Lord's bringing his people forth out of Egypt. Moses leads the people, as the Lord leads forth Moses and the children of Israel out of Egypt, with the Egyptians not far behind in pursuit. And we read at the end of chapter 13 in verses 21 and 22 how the Lord would lead the people. How he would lead them forth in the wilderness. It says in verse 21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." Yes, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. We read of pillars in the scriptures in a number of different places, different descriptions of different pillars. Sometimes pillars were made by man, and sometimes they were of God. Pillars in the scriptures often refer to those things which are built up as memorials, or they refer to the meeting place of God and man. Often men would build pillars out of rocks to represent that place where they have met with God. And here in our passage, we read of that pillar which God made. That pillar in which God dwelt, by which he led his people, in which he was present with his people, through which he met with his people. There is a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Lord went before them by day in the pillar of cloud, and by night in the pillar of fire. In the New Testament we read of comparisons with pillars. We read in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15 that the church is described, the house of God is described as the pillar and ground of the truth. And in Revelation 10 we read of the angel who had pillars of fire. Now the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, because again, the church, the house of God, is that place where God meets and dwells in the midst of his people. God is present in the pillar, and he's present in these two pillars, these two descriptions of a pillar in which we read of in Exodus 13 and 14. Pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. The one to make God's presence evident before the people in the day and to protect the people from the heat of the day, and the other to show forth God's light and his presence in the darkness of the night and to provide warmth in the cold of the night. There are two pillars described, but in reality they are both the same pillar in which God dwells, represented in different views. By day it appeared as a pillar of cloud, and by night it appeared as a pillar of fire. This pillar is of course a figure of Christ, a picture of Christ in the midst of his people, who is always with his people, and always leads forth his people. He is he by which his people are led. He is the light unto their path. He is their protection, their guide, their warmth, their heat, their sight. He is always with them. He is never taken away. As God said of this pillar, "He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." all their journey out of Egypt until they came to the promised land of Canaan, all their wanderings through the wilderness, where'er they went, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire was always with them. This people were led. God didn't simply tell them to leave Egypt and leave them to their own devices. He didn't simply give them some instruction and then left it up to them to do the walking and the thinking and the guiding. He didn't leave them on their own. He led them. He was always with them. They always had that evident representation of his presence with them by the pillar of cloud and of fire. If ever they felt that the Lord had departed from them or had forgotten them, they need only look to the pillar in their midst to know that he was still in their midst, he was still present with them, and he still led them. He never left them. He never forgot them. He was always with them. Always with them. Whether in the day when they could see, or whether in the dark when they could see not, he was always with them. There was a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. By day or by night, in light or in darkness, in the warmth or in the cold, when the way was easy to see by sight, or when the way was dark and uncertain, when the way was easy, or when the way was hard, when the way was straight, or when the way was crooked, up or downhill, whatever the journey, whatever the state, whatever the circumstance, the Lord led forth his people. The Lord was always with his people. The Lord was always present with his people. He led the way. He gave them light. He protected them. He watched over them. He gave them warmth and heat. He led them forth. He led them forth out of Egypt. Out of Egypt. When the Lord meets with a people, and when he leads his people, he does not leave them where they were. He leads them forth on a journey. And that journey brings them out from one place. And it takes them to another place. God doesn't keep his people in the world. He doesn't leave his people in Egypt. He came to his people who were in bondage in Egypt, and he delivered them by his mighty hand. And in so doing, this is a figure of what he does for all his people throughout all time. He delivered them. God saves a people. He came to save a people. Not simply to be with a people, but to deliver a people. God sent his only begotten Son into the darkness and the captivity of this world. He sent his Son into the Egypt, the bondage of this world, unto a people who were captive, unto a people who were ensnared by sin, who were captive, and he came to deliver them. Where are you this day? Are you in Egypt? Are you in Canaan? Are you in a wilderness? You may say, I haven't a clue what you're talking about. I'm in Honiton. I'm in England. I'm in America. What are you talking about? I'm talking about your state. Where is your soul? Where is your soul this day? Egypt is where your soul is by nature. In the world, lost and captive, sinful and bound by sin. We're weak and we are lost. We're in need of deliverance. We're born sinners and there's nothing we can do to deliver ourselves from our sins. We need one to bring us forth. And if your heart is still captivated by sin this day, if you're still bound by your sin, if your thoughts are far off from God, if God and His ways are something that you give little thought to, then you're in Egypt, like these Israelites were, and your soul is still in bondage. And if you are left in Egypt, then when your life comes to a close, you will perish in bondage. You need to be delivered. Here was a people of old who needed to be delivered. A people to whom God sent a deliverer. He sent Moses unto his people who had been taught their captivity. A people who had come to know that they were in bondage. A people who had been put to hard labour in Egypt. A people who knew that they were trapped. And who cried out unto the Lord to deliver them. Who cried out. Who groaned under the bondage that they were under. What of you? You may be in Egypt. But you may not know it. But perhaps you're in Egypt. And you've begun to realize your state. Perhaps you've begun to know that you are a sinner. Perhaps you've begun to know that you need to escape. Perhaps you've begun to know that you stand before God accountable. And that when you die you will have to stand before Him and give an answer for your deeds. Perhaps you have begun to feel some conviction in your soul for your sins and your transgressions. You know you've not lived before God as you should. Perhaps you've begun to cry out. For God heard the cries of His people. And He hears the cries of all those who begin to cry unto Him. Who begin to call out from bondage, from captivity, to be delivered. Who begin to cry out to God, Lord, help me. Help me, I know I'm sinful. But I can't do anything to make myself better. Help me, Lord. And when a people cry out truly to their God, He delivers. He sent Moses to this people. And He sent a strong deliverance. He brought this people out. He led them forth out of Egypt, this mighty nation, this powerful nation that had this people under their grip. Yet the Lord sent plagues. He did what was necessary to remove the power of Egypt over the Israelites. To take away their power over this people. To unlock the chains of this people. To bring them forth. He brought them forth powerfully. He delivered them. He saved them. And He led them forth. Yes, this was a people led forth. Because this was a people who had been delivered out of bondage. And God sends deliverance to His people. To all those who are brought to call out for salvation. To all those who are taught their need of salvation. He sends deliverance by His Son. By that one whom He sent to His people. Of whom Moses here is a figure. So that one who came to where that people were. In Egypt, in bondage, in corruption. In their sin. In the darkness. And the coldness of this world. He sent his son, a deliverer, unto such a people to bring them forth, to save them. Those who were dead by nature, dead in trespasses and sins, those like you and me, rebels, hard-hearted, cold, wayward, selfish, lost, weak, frail, helpless, those captive, those in bondage. He sent one, a strong deliverer, a mighty saviour, one who was able to take away the chains of his people, one who is able to save to the uttermost, one who can save even you, one who can deliver the hardest of hearts, one who can break the hardest of hearts, one who can warm the coldest of hearts, one who can take away all the bonds, all the captivity. He came to save. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to deliver. He came to deliver from all that was set against them. He came to take his people's sins away. He came to take the judgment due upon those sins away from them. He came to take the judgment upon himself. His people, you and I, if we're brought to believe on him, were under the judgment of God. Their sins had multiplied above their heads. The wrath of God sounded out from heaven against their sins. And if that's where you are this day, it sounds out this day against your sins. And it sounds out a verdict according to strict and upright justice. Guilty. And it demands a sentence to be exacted, a sentence of death, of death. But there's one that came to take that sentence upon himself. That one is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came a deliverer. He came to die, to take the judgment upon himself. And when he took the judgment, like that Passover lamb that the Israelites were told to sacrifice before they left Egypt, the lamb was slain and the blood was sprinkled upon the door. When Christ came to take the judgment for his people, when he died, when his blood was shed, and if his blood is sprinkled above the door of the house of where his people dwell, that people will be spared and will be led forth, will be delivered. Did he come for you? Was he the lamb slain for you? Was he your Passover lamb? Can you say with a certainty that Christ has come and has been slain on your behalf? And his blood sounds out, not guilty, for you? Does it sound out in the courts of heaven before Almighty God, not guilty? Does it sound out in your soul, to your conscience? Not guilty. Have you been delivered? For Christ came to deliver, and he delivered by shedding his blood to wash away the sins of his own. Do you know that your sins have been washed away? Have you been forgiven? Have you been led forth? Have you been led forth? Have you been brought out of Egypt, out of captivity, out of bondage? Have the shackles of your sin and the judgment of God against your sin, have these shackles been taken away? Have the chains dropped from off your arms? Has the Lord come to you and said, come forth, come out of Egypt, come unto a land flowing with milk and honey? I will lead you there. I will bring you through the wilderness unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Have you heard of Christ and his deliverance in the gospel? He came to deliver. Has he come to you? Has he led you forth? This people were led out of Egypt. They were led forth. And as they were led, there went before them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And the Lord went before them in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Yes, he led his people. And he led them forth out of Egypt. He delivered them. He delivered them from their sins. And he brought them out by his strong hand, by a mighty salvation. And he led them all their pilgrimage, all their journey unto Canaan. He was always with them. He never left them. He didn't bring them out and then let them go on their own. When God comes and saves a person, he doesn't leave you to yourself. If you've believed on Jesus Christ, if he has washed your sins away, if you're journeying through this world on your way on a pilgrimage to that promised land, unto glory, I can tell you with a certainty that there is ever before you a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Never doubt the presence of the Lord in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Believer, you are not on your own. You are not alone. The Lord didn't do a mighty work to then depart from his people. He leads them. He's always with them. He's always in their camp. He's always in the midst. He watches over them each and every day. In the day, he is a pillar of cloud unto them. He provides protection for them from the heat and the burden of the day. In Psalm 105, we read a reference back to this account of the people's deliverance from Egypt. We read a reference to the pillars, where it says, Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. And the Lord spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night. The Lord spread a cloud for a covering. This pillar of cloud in the day not only pointed the way to the people, and not only gave them that by which they followed as they journeyed through the wilderness, but it acted as a covering from the heat of the sun, the heat of the midday sun in the wilderness, in the desert. It acted as protection. No matter what the elements might bring upon the people, the Lord watched over them. And you may, as you journey, believer, through this world, you may feel the opposition that comes upon you. You may feel the heat of the day that comes upon you. The persecution, the trials and the temptations. You may sometimes be so hard pressed, so broken, so cast down that you wonder how you might cope. And yet, every day, there is a pillar of cloud, a covering of cloud which watches over you. The Lord giveth grace sufficient for the day. There is no burden, no trial, no difficulty that might come your way that he does not give grace sufficient for the day. He's always there. The cloud will protect you from the heat. No trial will come your way which will destroy you. You may come close to feeling like you can't cope anymore. You may come close to feeling like you'll be destroyed, like you won't endure to the end. The trials may be almost past your bearing. But the fact is, the Lord never tries his people beyond what he gives them strength to cope with and what he gives them grace to cope with. They'll never be destroyed. They'll be cast down, they'll be broken, they'll be tried, they'll be tempted. But they'll never, ever be destroyed. In the night, I want to draw your attention to especially the pillar is a pillar of fire. A pillar of fire. In the darkness and the coldness of night, they had this wonderful pillar of fire in which the Lord dwelt, which led them forth in the way. Now in the night, it's that time when it is the hardest to journey. In the day when we can see, we have some strength and ability of our own. We think that we can manage by ourselves somewhat. But in the night, when it's dark, we stumble about as blind men. We cannot see, we don't know the way. It's cold and it's dark. And yet in the darkness, in the darkness of this world, amongst the people who by nature are dark and are blind and have cold hearts, the Lord is present amongst his people in a pillar of fire. A pillar of fire. Now, fire has various qualities about it. Various aspects about it which bring benefits to the people that are led by it. Firstly, it is light. This fire gave them light. As we read, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To give them light. They could see in the night, for the pillar of fire lit up the way. This was a people who could journey by night as well as by day. The Egyptians may pursue them. Their enemies may pursue them. But they have something their enemies do not. They have a pillar of fire by night. This is a people that can even journey in the night, for the pillar of fire is a light unto them. Man cannot see a thing in the darkness by nature. Man is blind in the darkness of his sin. He doesn't understand the first things about life, about eternity, about God. He can't comprehend a thing. All his conclusions, all his deliberations, all his vaunted wisdom are utter foolishness. He's blind. Everything he concludes is false. He looks at the world around him and sees things and makes conclusions from them, but they're all erroneous. He stumbles about in the darkness. But those whom the Lord leads, his people, those whom he opens their eyes, those who have been delivered from Egypt through the death of his son, a lamb slain for his people, those whom he leads have a pillar of fire by night. They can see in the darkness. They have light. There is light that has come into their presence. There is light that has come in the darkness. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. There's light. There's light that leads them. There's light in their hearts. And that light is made known unto them in the gospel, as Christ is revealed unto them in the gospel, as he who leads them forth in the pillar of fire. Secondly, the pillar of fire brings heat. Brings heat in the coldness and the darkness of the night. Nighttime and darkness is very, very cold, especially in the desert. And our hearts by nature are not only dark, but they are cold. Stone cold. We have no love for God, no love for Christ, no love for his gospel, no love for the truth. But when there's a pillar of fire given to us, this pillar melts even the coldest of hearts. How cold is your heart? How cold is your heart? We wax and we wane. One day we burn strongly, the next day we're cold. By ourselves we are weak. By ourselves we have no strength. Left to ourselves, our hearts, even those who are believers, our hearts grow cold again. Yet God sends a pillar of fire by night in the midst of his people to warm their hearts as they lift up their gaze unto the pillar, as they lift up their gaze unto Christ, as they lift up their gaze unto the gospel. When Christ is made known in the pillar of fire in the gospel, he warms the coldest of hearts. How cold is your heart? Oh, look unto Christ. Look unto Christ. Look unto the pillar of fire. That light in the darkness, that warmth in the cold. Thirdly, fire speaks of judgment. Of judgment. There was a pillar of fire here. We read of fire in various other places in the scriptures. When God sent judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, he poured down fire from heaven and he consumed the city in fire. When the wickedness of the people came before him, his hand went forth in judgment. This was a people that lived generation after generation, sinking lower and lower into filth and depravity and sin. And they said, like the generations do in our day, oh, the days go on. Nothing ever changes. Where's God? Eat, drink and be merry. Let's live for the moment. There's nothing going to stop us living our lives. Let's do as we like. But the clock ticked away on Sodom and Gomorrah until the day came when God said enough. And the judgment poured down upon it. The fires of his wrath poured down upon it. And you, if you are still in Egypt in your soul this day, you, if you still live for your selfish gain, still thinking that nothing will change, that each day will come just as the last day, that you are in charge, that you can do as you like, that God will have nothing to do with you, be warned that the days tick down. The hourglass pours away. The sand in the hourglass pours down until the time comes when God says enough. And the fires of his judgment pour down upon your head. Fire speaks of judgment. And there's a judgment to come upon all the wicked in this world who know not Christ and his salvation. There's a judgment to come, which will surely come, and the fires will devour every one who has not Christ as a covering. But here's a people who were delivered from such a judgment. Here's a people who had blood above their doors. Here's a people who had a Passover lamb sacrificed on their behalf. Here's a people who could look at a pillar of fire and know that the fires of God's wrath had been extinguished on their behalf upon a sacrifice, sacrificed on their behalf. And if you have a pillar of fire leading you through this world on your journey to a land of promise, then that pillar of fire is a constant reminder that God's wrath and God's judgment has been extinguished on your behalf as it poured out upon his son upon the tree when God slew him for the sins of his own. Yes, did fire rain down upon Christ for you? Was he burnt up a sacrifice on the tree for you? This pillar of fire constantly reminds us in the gospel. As we look to Christ, as he leads us forth, we're constantly reminded that he took the fires of God's wrath, that we may never have to bear them. He's always there before his people, always leading them forth by the way. And he stands forth as a pillar of fire to say unto them, I've borne the fire. I've quenched it for you. There's nothing more to be poured out upon you. You're no longer guilty. You're perfect and righteous in me. You are forgiven. Lastly, about this pillar. This pillar was given to the Israelites. It led the Israelites. It was in the midst of the Israelites, and it was in the midst of none other nation. The Israelites had the Lord's presence amongst them in this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, but the Egyptians could not see it. When the Egyptians came upon them, when they met up with them at the Red Sea, when they thought they cornered them, before the Israelites was the Red Sea, behind them was the Egyptians. When the Egyptians thought they'd got them, we read in chapter 14 and verse 19, the angel of the Lord which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them. And it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. This pillar divided the Israelites from the Egyptians. All the Egyptians could see was cloud and darkness. They knew nothing of the presence of God. But the Israelites were led forth by this pillar. They had its fire in the night. They had its warmth and its light. The Egyptians could see nothing. They were in darkness. But the Lord's people could see everything because of the pillar in their midst. How distinctive, how particular this people are. They're God's people. They're those whom he came to save, whom he came to deliver. God came to save a people. Christ died for his own. Not for all the world, not for the Egyptians, but for a people whom God chose, whom he was given before the foundations of the world. A people for whom he died individually, particularly. He took away the sins of this one. He took away the sins of that one. He took away the sins of another. He died particularly. If you know God's love for you, if you know Christ's love for you, if his blood was shed for you, if his blood has been daubed upon your door, then it was done for you in particular. God chose you. God purposed to save you from all eternity. You were redeemed in particular. You're a particular object of his love. Christ died for his own, a particular people, and that people alone, will always know his presence with them. Where'er they may go on their journey through this world, He's always there in a pillar of fire. He never leaves them. He's always with this people. Only they know his presence. Only they know his guidance. Only they know his deliverance and his salvation. But should they know it, they'll never lose it. For his love is set upon them from all eternity and will be on them until all eternity. He loves his own from everlasting. He loves his own. Is he with you? Is he with you in the darkness of this world? In the coldness of this world? We meet here on a snowy day, a frozen day. We're very aware of how cold it can be. We're very aware of how difficult things can get. And the journey of God's people through this world can be hard and difficult. It can be cold. There can be trials. But no matter where they go and where they're brought, there's always, always, always a pillar of fire that gives them light and heat and guidance by night, and a pillar of cloud in the day. And always in the midst of that pillar, the Lord is present. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. It was always with them. And he never leaves his people whom he loves. For whom he loves, he keeps. He keeps to the very end. His love never wanes. It never ever wanes. It never ever grows cold. That people, you, if you're his, you may doubt. Your love for him may grow cold. You may fear, you may wonder like the Israelites of old. They doubted, they grumbled, they complained. Although the pillar was always there, although they could look and see the pillar, they still doubted. They were fickle, they were weak. And we're no stronger. Our love wanes. Our love grows cold. But his love for us, my friend, never, ever, ever grows cold. He never, ever leaves us. He never does. He never leaves us. He's always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. His love never, ever, ever diminishes those whom he loves. He loves to the end. To the end. You can rest in it. You can rest in it. You can lay everything upon it. You can trust it. You can fall in his arms. Whatever may come your way, he will always be there. He will always love you, no matter how you may fall, no matter what you may do. He will always love you. He will always keep you. He will always be with you. Those whom he loves, he loves to the end, and he will bring them safely through the wilderness, through the trial, through the journey, into a land flowing with milk and honey, into everlasting glory, where there's no more tears, where there's no more crying, where there's no more trials, where there's no more sin, where there's just everlasting glory, and where all the praise will redound unto him who brought the people forth with a strong deliverance, unto him who was in the midst of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Yes, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. The pillar of fire was always there. Look, my friend, to the pillar of fire, for he will never ever leave you if you are his. He will never ever leave his own. Praise God. Amen.